Hare Krishna. Hope you all had a good weekday, not weekend. I always keep messing up that one. Always I say weekend. So we'll just review last class, whatever we covered in the last class. So Garima Mataji is coming, you know, after a long time. I think she took break for almost 5 or 6 classes. So I will forward you the PPT. I usually send out all the information, whatever we discuss, PPT, everything. Mm-hmm. You can just go through the PPT and you can also refer the book. Okay. So you can get... So today we will... let's go through some definition, because last week we did cover some, you know, the definitions for particular words. We covered few main, you know, punch words, mm-hmm. which we are going to use throughout Bhagavad Gita. Or even after Bhagavad Gita, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you are going to come across those words. So it's better, you know, we all remember those punch words. So what's the definition of condition? So we know there are we are all conditioned living entities, right? We came across the... I don't know whether anybody got chance to go through whatever we discussed last week in the book. So what's the definition of condition? We are all conditioned living entity.
When we think we are this body, that means we are conditioned.
When the jiva comes in contact with the material world is when it gets that condition.
Yeah. A lot of them are like synonyms, like, you know, synonyms, each one has its. But Prabhupada says very clearly, like, you know, condition means materially contaminated. Right? Materially contaminated. So what? Materially contaminated by what? What does the material nature or
pleasure?
Yes, yeah. Three klesha or three modes of nature. So whenever we are in contact with the material nature, that means we are affected by one of this, and each one's nature is made up of combination of these three modes. So any
sorry to interrupt. Are you recording or?
Yeah, it's recording. Yeah, it's recording. And so based on the three modes, our nature, it's defined. Our nature, it's always based on three. And it forces to act particularly based on whichever is, you know, predominant nature we have, that forces to act. For example, if some person is very angry, so that means they are in kind of mode of ignorance, and it forces them to act in angry mode. Always, you know, you talk to them, it will be on their nose. For anything, small thing, they can jump and, you know, criticize or this thing. And for example, for a drunkard, it's in the, because he's association with the mode of ignorance, it's for easy for him to, you know, just jump into take up drinking or like that. And so what's the next definition of bhakti? We did discuss that also in last class.
Consciousness.
The activity?
Activities in pure consciousness.
Yeah.
Bhakti is devotional service.
The activities performed in pure consciousness. That's also it. So activities performed in pure consciousness. And what is pure consciousness? Right now we discussed that our consciousness is materially contaminated. So what's the definition of pure consciousness? How do you differentiate between materially contaminated consciousness and pure consciousness? How do you?
I mean, consciousness is like symptom of the soul, and when the soul understands its position and does the, like, when he understands is the servant of Krishna, and those activities are like pure consciousness.
Yeah. So Prabhupada says,
the definition of there in that slide, consciousness is I am. That's kind of the definition, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the consciousness is I am. The pure consciousness, like what? So Prabhupada says, the pure consciousness is when you follow the will of the Lord.
Okay.
So that's where when you are situated in pure consciousness, right? So now let's come to what's the consciousness, definition of consciousness?
Symptom of soul. Like definition like that is.
Yeah, it's already there. Yeah.
Okay.
So I am, right? So that's... that's a sense of identity. The consciousness is what I am, like, you know, I say I am maybe a manager or I'm, you know, I'm working for, like, that's a sense of identity. Consciousness is nothing but sense of our identity. So you cannot separate it. So as we are a spirit soul, pure spirit soul, so the consciousness is property of a soul. And is consciousness material nature or spiritual, of spiritual nature? The consciousness.
Pure consciousness is spiritual in nature. But when it comes in contact with the material nature, it becomes contaminated.
Yeah. So the consciousness is pure, right? Because it's I am, it's related to soul. So because the soul is purely spiritual and the consciousness is property of the soul, so the consciousness is also purely, it's a spiritual. So when we come across these three modes, when we come across the material nature, then it gets covering, it gets covered. But the consciousness or the soul is pure, purely spiritual. Right? And what's the definition of liberation? Prabhupada discusses that also.
Mukti.
Or mukti. Remember anybody?
Freedom from bodily concept of material consciousness.
Yes, it's already there. I shouldn't have displayed the. So also Prabhupada says some other, you know, different lectures, how the consciousness and soul, they are related. As we discussed, it's a property of the soul. So like he gives the example of sun and sunshine. So you cannot, at any point of time, you cannot separate them. They are inseparable, both of them. So same way, the soul and the consciousness, they are inseparable. So they are always together. And what's the difference, you know, the consciousness of human being, if you say, like, you know, any humans, and if you take a consciousness of a tree, so what's the difference? How do you, they are the living entity, we discussed this. Tree also is a living entity, right? So what does, what differentiates a tree from a human being?
Consciousness,
level of consciousness.
Level of
yes.
Level of consciousness.
Higher consciousness, lower consciousness.
Yeah, that's why it's a level of different levels of consciousness.
No, consciousness is same, but it's more covered or less covered, like that. That's why she's also right. Like,
so the consciousness is always pure.
Yeah.
It's just as, you know, how much covering you have, like, you know, the modes, how much you are associated with three modes, based on that your consciousness is covered. So for example, the human beings, they are more, it's not covered much compared to trees, because the trees are completely, almost they have very very minute consciousness. They can react, or they cannot, you know, understand, they cannot understand Bhagavad Gita or anything, so their consciousness is very low. So basically we have, you know, 8.4 million species of life. So basically the consciousness is the one which defines that category of living entities, 8.4 million. So that means we have a different gradations of consciousness. That's what it defines, whether you are a human being or is some aquatic in the ocean. So that's where the consciousness defines that 8.4 million species of life. So then, Prabhupada says, the example was like, you know, you take light bulbs, 100 light bulbs. He says, you know, take 100 light bulbs. You cover light bulbs with some, you know, glazed, like a covering, some kind of a cover. You keep covering. So you cover one or two layer on one bulb, you cover more layers on different bulbs. So when you turn on the power, the intensity is the same for all the electric bulbs. But the amount of light and the intensity it emanates, it's different based on the number of layers or based on thickness of the cover or whatever. So same thing, we also, human beings or any other animals or plants, that's how we also, we don't, the intensity is low, the amount of, you know, the spiritual we display, it's same, like how much covering you have, how much you know, modes of material you are covered with. And how do we purify our consciousness? We know we are contaminated, right? Everybody is, you know, everyone of us is contaminated actually. How do we purify our consciousness? What's the solution?
The nine method of devotional
service. Yes. So basically performing our duties or activities in bhakti, the devotional service. So when we keep doing the activities, so gradually it diminishes all our contamination, everything gets diminished. Then we come to our pure spiritual platform. That's the Sachidananda Vigraha platform. That's where we can realize we are Sachidananda. And also we discussed, so let me ask you, like, who is the, I think last paragraph, yeah, it's actual enjoyer and the enjoyer, right? So who is the actual enjoyer and the creator?
Lord.
So Lord is the only enjoyer in the, and what are the living entities?
Cooperators.
Yes. And we had, Prabhupada gave four analogies to differentiate that. Right? We are the cooperator. Then only we can be the happy platform. We can be happy. So what are those four analogies Prabhupada quoted? It's in the purport. We didn't. It's not here.
It's there.
Don't look at the slide.
Tree root. I mean, watering the root. And, you know, it's like...
So what happens when you try? Because I think few... So Soumya Mataji, they didn't attend. Maybe you can just elaborate a little bit, just how the tree
First example I could remember is, if you water the root of the tree, the whole tree gets watered. That's one. So that's just like that. If you serve Krishna, everybody else is...
Yes. So because we are part and parcel of Krishna or the Lord, so when we water the root, you don't have to go and water each branch or trunks. So same way, we also get, everybody gets satisfied. And what's the next, what's the next analogy Prabhupada gave? The tree was done.
Parts of the body and the body. Like we cooperate, like to feed our stomach, like to keep other parts.
So who is the enjoyer in that? Like who is the enjoyer in the body mainly?
Stomach.
Yeah, stomach. That's good. Correct. So when ants, legs, everything, right? These are all different parts of the body. But when you take, if ant protests, no, I don't want to give to the stomach, I will enjoy myself. You will starve and you will die in few days. But when you use the ant to feed your stomach, the automatically stomach gets filled, it sends the energy out, it releases the energy, and the whole body is happy. We are happy. So, and what's the next one?
Anybody?
Like a machine, it's there, right?
Machine.
The machine and the
machine
part.
Machine.
So only when the part is assembled with the machine, then only it has a value. If you take out and if you put it doesn't have any value of them. And what's the next one?
I don't remember.
I don't remember the last one.
It's there in the slide.
Master and the servant.
It's in the book. Yeah. So nobody studied the
master
book
and
then.
The servant.
Master and servant, what is the analogy here?
Same thing, master, right? If master is satisfied,
servant will give servant nicely.
If you treat the master nicely, servant is automatically is happy. And he enjoys all the benefits what master has, right? So that's a Prabhupada's. So nobody studied, looks like nobody referred to
it. So seems like homework from now on. We should all read until what we have covered. And everybody should come with one question.
No, it's very amazing actually. We don't cover most of it. Like we cover only the main punch thing. But there is a lot of information in this. You should study. That's a suggestion. You can study. It's very nice. The Prabhupada has given a lot of things. So let's go to the next one.
Okay, so Supreme Lord has different energies. So there is a verse in Sanskrit says Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. That's quoted, often quoted. So among them, primarily there are three energies. So one is called Antaranga or internal, other one is Tatashta or marginal, and the other one is Bahiranga or external. So internal energy is also called as Yoga Maya, external energy is also called as Mahamaya. So internal energy manifests the supreme spiritual world, everything. External energy manifests the material nature, like basically whatever we see now. So and the characteristics are, internal energy brings us closer to Krishna. So for example, any activities of bhakti, they are said to be in the internal potency. Because whatever we do, that brings us closer to Krishna. But external energy characteristic is it takes us away from Krishna. Like for example, any activities in Maya or what to say, any sense gratification activities, they are said to be in external potency. Because they take us away, because they allow us to do unrestricted sense enjoyment, which is not good for spiritual realization. So that's the main thing. And the main important point there is Jiva, which is in this Tatastha, marginal energy, is called marginal. Or Tatastha means actually it's Tatke upar, like that. So he's on the border. So he can anytime jump into the water or he can stay on the land.
Yeah.
Like that. So this marginal energy can be influenced at any point easily by internal potency or external potency. So that's our nature actually. So we are so tiny, that's why we ask this question, right? We are so tiny,
mm-hmm.
but we are superior. Material nature is inferior. How can we get influenced? That's because of this. Because our jiva is marginal, it can be influenced by material energy or internal potency. Like that. So what determines which energy influences us?
Our gunas determine which energy determines.
Okay, let's clarify the question just to sink in more. So, okay, we know that jiva is like in the middle, right?
Yeah.
It's wind is going from here, wind is going from here, it gets affected. So, what is in jiva's control? We know that one brings us closer to Krishna, one brings us away from Krishna. So, is there anything in jiva's control which can affect in a positive way?
Our limited
free will. Yes, that's a very good point. So the jiva is tiny, is influenced by these two powerful energies, but still jiva has tiny free will. So based on the free will, the energy moves. If by the free will jiva decides like, okay, from now on I want to dedicate some amount of time to Krishna consciousness, then automatically like that things will manifest, like super soul, we talked about all those things, right? But jiva says, okay, if every Friday I attend this class, same thing, sometimes same things are repeating, let me just today go check out something, right? So then it's a free will, we are exercising free will, then Krishna allows that. Because why there is a free will? Some people say, right, when we talk about this, they say, then why did Lord give us free will? Because we are making mistakes by that free will, why not have any free will at all in the first place? Then we'll be actually happy, forced to stay in spiritual world, and we could be actually happy.
So why do we need free will?
Why do we need free will?
We don't need free will. God wanted.
We know Lord is very powerful, right? We know he's supremely powerful. So he can take somebody and force. He can put a force. He can tell the material nature that, you know, you force him to become my devotee or somebody. Lord can do that. But he doesn't do. So he has given the limited free will, and we discussed why it's limited also. So what's the use of the free will? Why we need free will?
By designing somebody to care for you doesn't make sense. That person should care from their own heart.
Yeah.
So it's like that kind of thing.
That's correct.
It's
so
like slavery. Otherwise.
Yes, exactly. So basically, if we have free will, there is no meaning for love if there is no free will.
Mm-hmm.
So
right? It's like,
let it go. It comes back, it's yours.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah.
So unless we are given a choice, how can Krishna really know this person really loves me? Right? Because out of so many choices, we still choose to serve Krishna. That is an indication to Krishna that actually we want to love him. Like that. So that's why there is free will. And not only that, because we are part of the Lord. Lord has infinite free will. He's supremely independent, right? So he can will anything and he can do anything. Because of we are being part of him, we also have that characteristic.
The problem seems to be that, you know, the external things also feel good, right?
Yes.
That seems to be the problem. So if it was not feeling good, it's
yes.
like, okay.
So that's
like
actually, see, material energy, we are a little bit going into detail now to answer that question. Material energy has, within that subdivision, there are two potencies. One is called covering potency, another one is called throwing potency. There is Sanskrit, very nice Sanskrit words for it. I recollect now. So the moment we discussed last time, right, how did the soul come into the material world? So the moment he thinks that, okay, why Krishna is enjoying, I want to enjoy, that's the root cause of envy, and immediately he falls down, right? So that is the throwing potency. This spirit soul is thrown into material energy and he gets a material body. So the throwing potency. And after that, he gets covered. So the covering is to feel whatever we are sensing through the senses is real happiness. So that is the covering potency actually. So there is very nice example in the scriptures. Indra, you know, many of you know Indra, right? He is like king of heaven. So he made some mistake. He keeps making many mistakes to set as an example what not follow. So once something happened, somebody cursed him to become a pig. So he came to material world, he became a pig. And then he had a pig family, he has pig wife and pig kids, everything. He's very happy. Then Brahma, after some time, he figured that, okay, his time is over of pig duty. He has to come back and take his position. He has to rule the planet. Who else is there? So he came, Brahma came. So Indra, please come, it's time. Then he was surprised. He said, Brahma, what are you talking? I'm so happy here. I'm so nice. I'm eating nice food. You know what pig eats, right? So I'm eating very nice food and happy with my pig kids, everything. So please, let me stay here. I'm so happy. Then Brahma, like, he did some, I think he killed all of them. Yeah, he killed all the other family members and made him realize, and then he takes him back. So that's how strong the covering potency is. Actually, right now, maybe that may be too drastic example for us to relate. But for example, let's say if we take a little bit more easy example, like say drunkard, right? They are so happy just drinking and sleeping anywhere or whatever, right? But if we see from, if we don't, let's say assuming that we don't drink so much or whatever, if we see that, and they will be talking something, babbling something, and will be saying something, then he will be laughing, he says, I am happy. Then we think, oh, what is this happiness? Why is he feeling he's happy? He's so miserable. Next day, tomorrow, he's going to get headache and vomiting, all those things, he doesn't realize. So when we step back, we know that. We laugh at all these people, but actually, at a gross or subtle level, we are also guilty of this offense, or guilty of this mistake. But that's the thing, covering potency is so powerful, it makes us believe this is the real thing. That's the whole point. But gradually, as we discussed last time, it's a gradual transition. When we step and get the higher taste through bhakti, then we will see, oh, actually those are all pale happiness. Like it doesn't sustain, it doesn't satisfy the soul. Then we naturally want to not indulge in things like that. So automatically it will come.
So also Prabhupada gives one example where he says the material nature, it's it's compared to a wound. If you have a wound, right? So what happens to the wound? Like, you know, usually you feel itchy, right? But you know it pains if you scratch.
Yeah.
So it becomes bigger.
Worse, yeah.
But next time?
You still scratch.
Still, you will not be able to stop actually.
That
if you
is
have
a problem. That's precise. I think that's a very good example.
Yeah.
So that's what Prabhupada says. Material nature is exactly like that. So it gives you some pleasure and it thinks you are happy. Then you get into it, you scratch. Actually, the wound becomes bigger. But you will not be able to stop it. That's
example.
How the Prabhupada amazingly relates the body to it.
So then,
we covered about Mahamaya and Yoga Maya.
Yes.
Can you give some explanation on that one?
Yeah, basically it's all energies, right? So all the energies have a personality representing or empowering those energies, any energy you take. So similarly for material energy, Durga Devi is the embodied person, is embodiment.
Actually,
of
she is the superintendent of material nature.
Material nature.
She is the one who controls all the living entities in material. That's what position Krishna has given her, Durga Devi.
Yeah, service.
And Yogamaya is, Subhadra, Krishna's sister. She is the one who, personality, who controls that Yogamaya.
That is internal
Radharani
energy.
Also.
That is called internal.
That's internal, Yogamaya.
So
Yogamaya is
internal energy again, like, she controls, but how do we experience that?
So for example, right, Krishna came to, he was in Vrindavan, right? He took birth, right? Yashoda Mata and Nanda Maharaj. But they did not even know Krishna was the God. I don't know whether anybody knows the pastime. So when he came in Vrindavan, so they just treated him as a ordinary or their own son. So they didn't know he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they were covered with yoga maya. They cannot tell. See, if they knew that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, you cannot reciprocate with them as a, you know, parent. How will you have the relationship as a parent if you know he is the Lord? So there should be somewhere, it's kind of a veil, right? You cover with that. So that way they forget that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God. They consider him as just a regular son or ordinary son. So then they can reciprocate the loving reciprocation.
Yeah.
And the Mahamaya is about the material world. So the material world consists of not only earthen plane. There are like other like Swargaloko and...
it's a 14 planetary system.
Those all comes under this material.
Yeah, yeah, full. Completely it's under Durga Mata. Achha. All the whole planetary system is under her control.
Mm.
And she is the one you would have seen, right? She has all the weapons. So many. So each weapon is to treat the conditioned soul so they can, you know, come back to their original the nature by giving, you know, like a punishment, like, you know, jail.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of the superintendent in the jail? To make go through all the punishment, but at some point of time, you know, you have to give up all your criminal activities. So same thing, material nature is also compared to a jail, prison without bars. Prabhupada says material, prison without bars. We don't have any bars, right? But still, we are being controlled in every aspect of our life, we are controlled. That's how Durga Mata works, Durga Devi works.
And for us to easily relate, internal energy is the activities of bhakti, they are an internal potency. Like for example, if you do any service to Krishna, that's yoga maya is acting there, it's not mahamaya. So because by that we are getting purified, by that we are coming closer to Krishna. Like that. So then in the internal potency, these are like few terminology which we are going to cover later also. We talked that Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha, right? Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat is eternity, Chit is knowledge, and Ananda is the pleasure potency basically. And by the potency of Sat, there is eternality and there is a manifestation of the spiritual world. The whole Dham manifests because of the Sat potency of the Lord. Because of the Chit potency of the Lord, Krishna knows about himself and Krishna knows about everyone, and every living entity can know about Krishna because of this potency. And because of the Ananda potency, Jiva and Krishna enjoy transcendental bliss. So this is like different categorization of the energy or potency, and we will see that there are different realizations of the absolute truth. Absolute truth is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll cover that in the next slide. There are different realizations, like one is impersonal Paramatma and Bhagavan realization. So all these three realize some parts of these aspects. So we'll come to that in the next slide. It's just a brief. Prabhupada doesn't cover this in detail in the purport, but just a clue. So if we talk about the next slide, where Srila Prabhupada is defining what is absolute truth and what is the complete whole. So there he says a very nice section. He says that the complete whole is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is also Supreme Absolute Truth, and it consists of the Supreme Controller, controlled living entities, the cosmic manifestation, eternal time and karma. See, all these things are manifested because of different energies of the Lord. We talked about all of these, right? Like the five aspects of the Bhagavad Gita, right? And the point is, like, he's said to be complete. Let's talk a little bit about this word, like complete. He's said to be a complete whole. Why he's called as a complete whole? That means everything within or beyond our experience is in him. So there is nothing in this world or anywhere which is not there in him. So usually this is to defeat the Mayavadis who say that material energy is actually more powerful than God. They say like that. So then Prabhupada is saying, no, actually all the energies should be under him, are under him. So that's why he's a complete whole. And another definition is also there in Isopanishad. If you look at this verse, very nice verse, Isopanishad invocation. Om Purnamad. Okay, let's see. It's there. It's there. I think it's there. It's rotated. Oh, it's opening there. Yeah. It's not showing up there. To show in the second one. Yeah. Open. Oh. 1 second. No, it's working.
You have to move. Oh, there.
It's in second one.
Yeah, we'll move it there. So this is a very beautiful verse. Om Purnamadam Purnamida Idam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So this is the complete verse. So Lord is complete and perfect. Because of that, whatever emanations come from him, they are also complete and perfect. Like the material manifestation. The universe, right? If you take this universe, whatever is needed for the sustenance and maintenance of the universe is within it. It doesn't have to come from somewhere else. So that's why it's a complete whole. But the point is, the Lord, even though emanates all these complete wholes, he still remains a complete. Like materially, usually we have a conception, like if I tear one paper, the book is less with one paper. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's not like that in spiritual subject matter. Lord, even though he can produce, see for example, all these Vishnu Tattva, right? Rama, Narasimha, they are also Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
And so many are there, so many incarnations, so many universes, so many incarnations are coming. But still he remains a complete whole. That's why he's God. And yeah. That's
the
Jeevas we'll also.
Right?
Yeah, we'll come to that. So if you remove this.
Okay.
So, other point there is, so this material world is with 24 material elements, which we'll discuss next slide, which makes it complete, which allows it to sustain itself. And as we discussed, this material world is created, annihilated at a periodic cycle. That's also by the free will of the Lord, complete will of the Lord.
So these different energies of the Lord that you said.
Yes.
In the previous slide there were three types, right?
These are exactly, yes, yes.
So that is three, and this is what is.
So these are like all those three energies combined together manifest like this.
Oh, okay.
So basically
another form of
it's
that
like
energy.
A manifestation of the energies. See, like because of yoga maya potency, let's say Supreme Lord is created, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's said to be like in that. But because of the material energy, karma is there, time, like that. You
okay.
can say like that. And, okay, another point is, we should understand the difference between absolute truth and God. What does absolute truth mean? What does God mean? So in Srimad Bhagavatam, when the first verse, Janmadi Yasya Yataha, that verse is described in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, in general, what is the notion of God? What do we understand by God? What is general feeling of what does God mean?
Powerful.
Yes, powerful, a very controller. We think is a controller.
Supreme.
Supreme controller. But that doesn't completely say that he is a proprietor also. But this absolute truth, when we say absolute truth, it means that from which everything emanates. The definition of absolute truth, if you have to write down, it means that from which everything else emanates.
The source.
Exactly.
Source.
Yes.
Sarva karana karana.
Yeah. So that way, absolute truth is more encompassing than God, the concept of God. Right? Because he says that he is the source. And also he's a controller, and he's also the enjoyer, because he's a proprietor. So that subtle difference we should understand. But that complete supreme absolute truth, who is that? That is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now we talk about different realizations of the absolute truth. We say self-realization, right? Self-realization, like God-realization. So what are different categories of that realization? There are three main realizations of the absolute truth. One is the impersonal Brahman realization, which actually has only the sat feature. So impersonal Brahman realization means the goal is we will remain as a spark in the, what is Brahman? Brahman is the effulgence, bodily effulgence of the Lord. It's the spiritual rays. Everything is situated in Brahman. So when somebody realizes or comes to this Brahman realization, they realize themselves to be a spirit soul, and if they want just that impersonal Brahman realization, they just remain as a spark in the spiritual light. That's the impersonal Brahman realization. There is no activity, there is no relationship, they just exist. That's why they only realize the sat feature. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually clarifies Brahman realization versus proper Bhagavan or devotional service, and he says which is better. Both of them help in getting away from material atmosphere, but Brahman realization, the process itself and also the stage we are in, it's very, very impractical. How can we imagine like putting ourselves in one room locked up without doing anything, without having to do with anybody? It's not practical, right? We all want, and we seek happiness through loving relationships. So that's why even though some yogis are inclined for that realization, they come back again because of lack of activity.
But Mataji, there is a flip side to this, right? Again, I'm not trying to argue, but there is a flip side to this. If you then are just a spark of his thing, then there is no chance
of
that
making
mistake, right? If you are there, it's okay.
Yeah,
that's
also there.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, because soul by nature is very active.
Oh.
That's the nature of the soul.
So for she said, if you take somebody and put it in one room, how long they can stay in the room?
So in what state? But you are not serving the Lord during that time.
Yeah,
yes,
you are
exactly.
Not serving.
So then why do you come back again?
Because you cannot stay there, like it's not sustainable. Like
that's why Sachida, the by nature,
right?
The soul is active.
You want to be active,
so you
right?
A lower form of
exactly. So you come down again. You come down in the material world, and again either you take up devotional service, then you again go back to higher stage, or mostly Prabhupada says in the purports that these people, Brahman realized, they come back and do lot of philanthropic activities, like opening hospitals or like doing welfare work for the society. Mostly they are inclined because they are already in mode of goodness. The next realization is the, so in Brahman realization, we can talk through, there are a couple of examples we can give to understand this better. So let's talk about sun planet, right? So everything is a person, right? So there is sun god who is in charge of the sun planet. He has a whole planet to him, and he rides on the chariot, and that's how the sun moves in the orbit. That's all details are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, like how many times he moves, and every time he keeps moving in the chariot.
Are there any living entities on the sun planet?
There should be.
Yeah.
Why do you think so?
Everywhere there is soul, right? So
yeah.
So
no,
be
people
soul.
Ask like that because it's a fiery, right? It's always burning, the fire.
Yeah.
So that like
so
another
the fire. You know,
fiery body.
Yeah,
yes.
fiery body.
So
they are also the source of energy in this world.
Yes.
Yeah.
They give a lot of life to plant and all, right?
So Prabhupada says, you know, for example, if you take ocean, right? There are a lot of even undiscovered.
Mm-hmm.
Ocean, it's not, I think 90% is not discovered actually what is underneath. So if you go all the way deep, you see lot of living entities, they don't even come up. So they have a very specific body where they can really stay in water without even coming for, you know, breathing or anything. So same way, why do we, you know, deny that there won't be any living entities on the sun planet? They can have a fiery body and they, you know, they can live. That's what...
So if we talk about realizing the sun planet or sun god, everything, right? There can be three aspects. One is somebody just sees the sun. The morning they get up, they feel the sunshine, and then they say, sun is up. They just only are in touch with sunshine. But they can see by that, actually sun is there. and the sunshine is, there is no personal form to that, right? It's just some light. So that is the impersonal realization of the God, of God. It's just that effulgence or the energy sub feature. Another example, parallelly we'll go through these two examples and go through these realizations. Let's talk about, let's say a train is coming from far. So from far it's coming. So from here, all I see right now is just a light. That's some signal, the top light. That's all I see. I don't see anything else from here. That's all I'm seeing. So God has so many varieties, so many names, so many activities, so many pastimes. All I see is light. So that is the impersonal Brahman realization. Next realization is the Paramatma realization. Paramatma is there in every one of our hearts. Like, very nice pastime is there. I will come to that in a minute. So there is a realization of Sat and Chit, eternity and knowledge aspect also. And here also there is little personal features are revealed, but not intimate loving relationship. Like, for example, we can see Paramatma is given as like a four-handed form, Vishnu form. He's standing on the lotus of our heart. So we can see that. Like, let's say yogis who realize Paramatma, they see that. They see the personal form, but they cannot, like, it's not like physically you can, let's say, put a mat for Paramatma, or like those things you cannot do. Not too much personal. So now let's come back to this example. So with respect to sun, it's as if like we can see the shape of the sun disk, how big it is, what is the orbit it goes, and like what's the frequency or what direction, or some details, some personal details of sun, the sun planet. And with respect to the train example, train is now coming little bit closer. So along with light, we can see, and it's actually trying to cross us. So we can see sound, and we can also see the number of bogies. We can see how many, who are the drivers, and how many windows are closed, how many are not closed, how many are curtains. Little bit personal aspects we can see. We still didn't enter into the train. So that is the partial realization still. So it doesn't mean I've seen the train, right? Because it's just partial. And the next, or the complete realization, is the Bhagavan realization, or the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the source of all these things. So there we know that, okay, Krishna has a form, like he has a planet, he has pastimes, he has names, he has dress, so many personal details, like, and we can also render personal intimate service to the Lord in all those aspects. So with respect to sun god, it means we enter the sun planet, we see sun god, he has his wife, he has children, and he's riding a chariot, he has so many horses in the chariot, and he's going, all these details we can see. And now train has stopped in front of us, and we entered into the train. So we can see exactly inside how the seats are arranged, which seats are dirty, which are clean, all those details we can see. So it's a complete realization of the train, like that. So these are the different aspects of realization of the absolute truth.
But
so
why Bhagavan realization is not mentioned in
this? That's a top one.
So
it's that's why it's like complete,
oh,
right?
Okay, okay.
So that has that Bhagavan realization.
The left side is completely that Bhagavan realization.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, in last class you have said that because the spiritual planets are like eternal, time doesn't touch them.
It's eternal. Time is eternal. It doesn't.
Yeah, time is eternal in the sense like how we our things change here based on time. That doesn't change.
The time doesn't have any effect on the spiritual world. It's
so
inert.
They have like the children, and then they have adult.
Mm.
They have old man.
Mm.
Do they have like? It's not like
they are all same age. Actually, the
for
what I have understood is, for example, Krishna, right? He's always 16 years old. He's always like that. It's eternal, they are always like that. Because there is no birth, death, old age, disease. So that means if you're not influenced by one of them, that means you're constant, that state is always like as it
like
is.
Young.
Like you, no?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a young.
Yeah, yeah, that's why it's always 16 years means Krishna is always like that. Eternity is like that.
What about the other like spirit souls, Jiva?
Same thing, whatever spiritual body they have, they remain like that. Spiritual body, it's always like that. If, for example, you know, if somebody is a cow in spiritual world, so they always like that. Like they remain the same, they don't die. It's always same spiritual body. It's eternity. For eternity, it's always.
Mm-hmm. But the five relationship which was said like a passive active dasya sakhi and abhasya madhurya. So in that body and this relationship, how they come together in spiritual?
No, because we already have, for example, I cannot talk this one because I don't even not even realize anything. For example, one of us, like each of us, we have some already some spiritual form. We already have. We did discuss that saying Swarup Siddhi, right?
Mm.
So that's the platform where we will realize our nature, what's our nature is. We already have a spiritual body. It's not that we don't have. It's just that, you know, we have to realize, and when we go back to Godhead, we'll have that body.
Okay,
and that body can be, that spiritual body can be in any of that particular relationship. So that's why only when you are, you know, uncontaminated stage, when you reach that, then only you'll realize that particular Swarup Siddhi. It's okay?
So very nice point Srila Prabhupada tells in this section is that, so we know that Supreme Lord is a complete whole and all this, all the emanations are complete and everything is self-sustaining, right? And he says that all sorts of incompleteness are experienced due to our incomplete knowledge of the complete. So whatever incompleteness or dissatisfaction we face is because of not having complete knowledge of the complete whole. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is saying Bhagavad Gita contains that complete knowledge to perfect our lives. So another example for which I missed of the complete units which the Lord emanates is jivas or the living entities. See, each of us, we have a body which has everything needed for this, right? Eyes to see, ears to hear. We don't need some extra. Of course, when let's say some things don't function with the age, we need some artificial things. But otherwise, it's like a complete unit actually. Digestive system, everything is inbuilt. Right? So this is also one complete unit. So Srila Prabhupada says these complete units right now, because they are engaged in material atmosphere, they are facing incompleteness. They are facing dissatisfaction. So when these complete units they dovetail their service in the complete whole, then they realize their completeness. Basically, it's the same way of, very nice complete way of saying the same thing, which is like by doing devotional service, we can attain complete satisfaction and perfect our lives, right? So similarly, these units can again be felt complete by dovetailing, the part is joined to the machine, then it becomes complete like that. So
anybody
one
wait, can ask questions, anybody has questions? It's a long discussion.
Oh, long discussion. Any questions?
It's getting definitely complicated. Like,
complicated?
Immediately it's not getting to mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's okay, but like, gradually it will definitely come. But yeah.
Okay.
So what's the solution for that? What's the solution for that? That's why, since we are just discussing, you know, because here we have specified only main from here, punch points, but you should read this one to relate the PP.
That point, the whole paragraph is complete.
Yeah.
This is one chapter, right?
Yes.
Bhagavad Gita,
sir?
No, there is a
for the complete one. For which one?
No. There is a verse in second chapter, actually, second point, 2.2 or something, where Prabhupada explains the sun god example in detail. It is okay, it's like, it's okay if it's too much to understand at this point. At least what we need to know essence is that there are, let's say, different stages of realizing God, and some people are attached to a particular form or the other, but we are more interested in complete Bhagavan realization like that.
Yeah, from the whole thing at this point of time you can take only that much. There are different realizations we can have. So one is impersonal or Paramatma or Brahma, Bhagavan realization. Later, because these things are all detailed covered in the remaining chapters.
Yeah.
So anyway, we are going to go through
that.
So, has anyone had the Bhagavan realization in terms of, you know, Sakshatkar? Because, I mean, we hear about cases where people, you know, witness
Paramatma
when they are meditating and stuff like that. So other than at the end of the Upper Yuga, when Krishna came to earth,
yes,
do people have the realization like of being in the with Krishna,
like any experiences people had
maybe Prabhupada?
Yeah, so Prabhupada actually once told, like, so these usually these things, they, it's not like for a show, right? People don't like like write it in their Facebook page saying, okay, today I saw God. It's not like that, right? But at least the way we can see is that by their activities in this world, like how they are 100% engaged in service of the Lord, because the service to the Lord is non-different from Lord himself, because it's all spiritual. See, the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So a person who is completely engaged in service of Krishna is always in Krishna consciousness. He's always with Krishna. Like that. Mm-hmm. It's internal, or based on their revelation, how whether they really see the form of God or what. But actually it's said the chanting of the holy names, it reveals the whole spiritual realm to us. Starting with Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. So Nama, first the name reveals itself. Now right now when we say holy name is non-different from Krishna, we don't have that realization, right? We keep saying for every small thing we say Krishna, but at the same time when we chant, we are not able to put focus everything because we don't have the taste. But the name will reveal itself. Then, let me complete this. So then, Nama, right? Nama, Rupa, then the form. Then holy name will reveal Krishna's form to us. Nama, Rupa, Guna, qualities. We can see Krishna's qualities. What are his qualities? Whatever is there in the scriptures. Actually, it's like, while chanting, it's like a spiritual television opens up in our heart like that. You can see, you can be part of it. Of course, these are all very far beyond our realizations. We are just sharing whatever we have heard. And then Rupa, Guna qualities and Leela. So we can see the pastimes of the Lord also enacted within the heart. Like that. And the person also can participate in the pastimes in that. So that's why it's very, very, practical and approachable. It's not like as if going to Mars kind of thing, which is not at all realistic. By practice, and the point is, bhakti is both the means and the goal. By doing bhakti, we get more purified and eventually qualified to do pure bhakti, where we realize all, or rather God, Krishna gives us the realization of all these concepts.
So somebody did ask Prabhupada when he was there, somebody did ask him, have you seen Krishna? Then Prabhupada told, yeah, every moment I see Krishna. Means basically he was telling, whoever is engaged in service 24 hours a day, so you can see Krishna. Of course, since we are not pure enough to maybe notice that, but Prabhupada did say that. And in other occasion, Prabhupada did say, somebody asked him like same question, did you see Krishna? And he told, yeah, if I say yes, how will you know? Basically, Prabhupada said, you don't have eyes to see Krishna. Even if I say yes, how will you know? It's just, you're just believing in me.
Like, basically that person was challenging. So he's saying, oh, did you see God? You're telling all this, did you see God? Then he said, even if I see God, how does it matter to you? Like, what does it make a difference to you? If I say, I seen God. Because other thing is, even if somebody hears that I've seen God, unless they themselves have some realization, they cannot understand what it means to see God. Right?
So two things.
Yeah.
Maybe I can add, Mataji.
Yeah.
One is like tasting a sweet, right? Have you tasted sweet? Yes, but how? I mean, does it matter to you?
Yeah.
If you taste only, you will know, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that. If we see, you will know.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say was, I thought he was asking, has anybody seen Krishna? I was thinking about all the dasas, but like Purandara Dasa,
Mirabai,
all
the
all. Seen that.
Yes. Every moment, because they were always 24 hours, they were engaged in this Krishna service, so they could see Krishna.
Right.
But of course, that's what they have revealed us, that they could see. That means when we engage ourselves also in that 24 hours, this thing. And there is one more nice analogy Prabhupada says, if person is hungry, who can tell that person is, after eating, who can tell whether he is full or no? Just by himself, right? So same thing, when we realize that one, then only we can tell that, really we are seeing.
So one example regarding the Paramatma thing, I was just hearing today that, we have this BBT articles, right, where there are very nice paintings, given by devotees, they have made, and even in all this Krishna book, everything, they are very nice paintings. It's all like Prabhupada disciples, he trained them to make the paintings and all. So once Prabhupada approached one Mataji, like Jadurani Mataji, Jadurani Mataji, and then he told like, okay, can you make a painting for Paramatma? And everybody was so, she was very eager, okay, let me make. So immediately ran to her room and she put the canvas and she started the pen and started doing Paramatma. Then she realized, oh, how does Paramatma look like? I don't know, how does he look like? Then immediately she came back and very quietly she asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you asked me to do this, I'm trying to do, but I don't know how he looks like. Oh, then Prabhupada said, oh, realize Paramatma, it takes millions of lifetimes. Then she got very disappointed. Oh, I want to do this service, I have to wait millions of lifetimes. But it's okay, I will tell you how the Paramatma looks like. Then he explained, he sits on a lotus, he is wearing yellow dress. There is a picture actually, you can show that. And he holds four hands and he has a helmet, he has necklace. It may not be in this book.
Not there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's there? Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's what Durva Maharaj, that's how we realize.
Yeah.
You can tell the page number.
Oh, okay.
It's because it's all given in scriptures, right? So Prabhupada gave them the descriptions.
Yeah.
And when they painted, Prabhupada watched that because he knows everything.
It's a very divine look, right?
Yeah.
It's not like normal human form, like normal, not human face. It has a very divine touch.
Yeah.
So I feel like as if they really truly realized from their own heart, and that's why they are.
See, yeah, that's the thing. It's either you're realized or
you
are repeating the realized words.
Okay.
Both are same. See, for example, Krishna later on says that Bhagavad Gita should be heard in disciplic succession, like that, right? And also from the pure souls. Like Krishna is given, Krishna is pure, so we directly read from Krishna, it's good. But you are all hearing from us. We are not pure and we are not properly representing properly also. So then, what is the potency you're getting? The potency you're getting is the amount we are practicing, and also we are just repeating. As much as we are just repeating, it will help you. It's like they say the electric connection. There is a source of power somewhere, but there is a plug, a wire, everything, and then there's a bulb here. We turn on the switch, it glows here. But the source is very far, but it's all connected through wire. That's why it shows the light. So it's just a matter of connection. And it's a repetition of the pure message. So like that, Prabhupada empowered his disciples, and he gave the knowledge and he gave them the blessings to do that. And he cross-checked everything. And it's all based on scriptures.
Always wonder about all this divine art and different.
Okay. Okay, I think that's all I wanted to say. Okay, so the 24 elements we covered, right? These are given in detail in 13th chapter. 6 to 7 verses, there's hyperlink, you want to take a look at it. This briefly we'll go through it. So 24 elements consists of, no need. So the 24 elements consists of 5 great Pancha Mahabhuta, earth, water, fire, air and ether, and 5 knowledge acquiring senses. Through this we acquire knowledge like eyes, nose, ears, skin and tongue. So eyes we can see, nose we can smell, right? So tongue we can see whether it's salty or sweet. So through this we get the knowledge and working senses, voice, legs, hands, anus and genitals. And 5 objects of senses, so the eyes can see and the tongue can taste, touch, sound, smell, form. And there are other 4 elements which are like mind, intelligence, false ego. And the 24th element is the unmanifested modes. So all of these combined together, they are called field of activities, FOA. It's called field of activities. And with the interaction of the field of activities, we get happiness and distress and desire and hatred. So these are all given in 13th chapter.
What is the 24th chapter?
Unmanifested modes.
What would they be like?
What would they be? Okay, so originally when the creation started, the whole material nature is in the form of this unmanifested state. So means like it's basically there is no differentiation, there is no form. You cannot see like, okay, this is like earth, or this is a tree, this is a stone. it's all like as a clump, one clump. That's called unmanifested. But the moment Mahavishnu glances at it, then it starts through that glance, the living entities enter into the unmanifested modes. It's called Pradhan actually. They enter into the Pradhan and they start differentiating. Differentiating means they start getting forms. So the modes get created, and then because of the association with the modes and time, bodies get created, all those things happen. That's the whole creation happens. So very more details are there in Bhagavatam. It's okay. Yeah.
You don't need?
Mm-hmm. Which number verse?
It's there, 13.6 to 7.
13.6 to 7.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll go to the next verse. Yeah, this is
you can know. Read, yeah.
You can read that more. A little bit complicated. So next slide. Okay, so this is what some of you were really eager to hear, see. So this is all the division of Vedic knowledge. We'll not go into too much detail because we ourselves don't know much of it. But this is just for your reference. So primarily we have Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is through, it came through hearing. Yeah, Smriti is composed. Yeah, Shruti is mostly heard initially, and then after that Vyasadeva compiled it into four Vedas. Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva. There are Upavedas and Vedangas. These are all given by this Prabhu Tyaga Chaitanya Das. And we have in the Smriti, we have Puranas, Shaddarshanas, which are like Sankhya, Yoga, Vaishashika, Nyaya, Mimamsa, Vedanta. And yeah, so many Shastras are there. And Tantras, Rajasik, there are different divisions within the Tantras. Rajasik, Tamasik, Sattvik. So this is the whole gamut of Vedic knowledge. So the main point for us is the essence of all this Vedic knowledge is given in Bhagavad Gita. So at least, if I don't remember how many number of verses are there in Bhagavad Gita, 500, 700?
Sorry.
Yeah, so 700 verses, if we know Sanskrit translation, some points on the purport, by the end of this life, that's more than enough for us. Especially in Kali Yuga, it's a memory is dull, right? So we cannot grasp so many things. So we'll just go to the essence.
So Jnana Yogis, they used to study all this because they need to have a complete knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all this, you know, they. I'm pretty sure in India there are some schools. I heard in Chennai there is, Chennai means Tamil Nadu, there is still, you know, old style Vedic schools. They teach all the scriptures.
Kumbhakonam.
Still,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Kumbhakonam.
Is there? They still teach very authentic.
I don't know how they, like, I don't know how good the quality is.
But still they are trying to keep up that tradition of studying. But anyway, we know, you know, as she said, we have so short time. And we know these days, you know, 65 years is kind of getting the lifespan. It's not 100 years actually, 65, 70 years. And with the work, family and all, we won't have time to even study this. Actually, we won't even remember a lot of things. So
that's why the whole process is also simplified for this age. Just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can attain self-realization, God-realization, everything. So, actually initially when I heard this, like the benefits of chanting Maha Mantra and Mahaprabhu, so merciful, all the fallen souls, nobody cares about, he came and gave this mantra, and which, he is called as Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishna Prema Pradayate, one who gives the Krishna Prema. So he's coming and giving benevolently Krishna Prema. Then I felt like, oh wow, we are at the right time, at the right place, right? So fortunate. All we have to do is just take it up sincerely and just follow through it. And we can see through ourselves how it's working.
Who is the good example of, you know, have you heard of four Kumaras?
Yeah.
You heard?
Yeah,
they are all, you know, like they are not exactly Jnana Yogis, but they are much into, you know, study Sankhya Yoga, like that, very much into this thing. So when they went to Vaikuntha Loka, where, you know, they just smelled, you know, the tulsi leaf on Vishnu's lotus feet, they completely gave up all, you know, that impersonal form, whatever they had in the mind, they had cultivated for years, right? That time the lifespan was so long, they had studied everything. When they did smell the tulsi leaf, they forgot all those things and they just engaged in the service of Vishnu, Bhagavan realization. And those four Kumaras or even in Chaitanya Leela, there is, you know, Swarup, not Swarup, the mother, who is the one who gave up the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's a very big pastime actually. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is one of the, you know, well studied, respected Sanskrit scholar. He knew Vedic literature like anything, you know, in and out of Vedic literature. But when he heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just, you know, he completely gave up. I don't want this, I want the Bhagavan feature, like, you know, I want to serve activity, I want to engage in service. So they gave up all, you know, speculation, everything, and finally they took up. So one way we are...
Bhagavan realization is beyond this Paramatma and then impersonal realization.
Yeah. Like this is a portion.
Yeah.
This is complete.
Absolutely. So those who go after Bhagavan realization,
they
also
get this.
It encompasses even the other two realizations.
Yes.
That's why, it's very amazing. That's why we feel so, you know,
fortunate.
First of all, we are not born in, you know, some Brahmin, as though, you know, India, they we call Brahmin families, all those things. We are not born in all those families. But somehow, you know, by my mercy of Srila Prabhupada, no, we got Bhagavad Gita, we came to association. And we are so fortunate, even, you know, discuss Bhagavad Gita, at least that's what we consider. We are very fortunate. And you can see, gradually you can see, you know, finally, you know, everything comes down to how much peaceful you are. Why we study Bhagavad Gita? Why are we trying to understand Bhagavad Gita or any scripture? What's the purpose of, you know, understanding spiritual knowledge? At the end of the day, you know, you have to be, the mind, everything should be peaceful. And that happens only when you know get some knowledge. Without proper knowledge, again it becomes incomplete, right? If you have incomplete knowledge, again you will be, you know, off knowledge, it causes off-filled vessel, it makes more noise, right? That's what we have thought. So this even maybe, you know, just the essence is there, and because of the purport especially, we are able to understand the knowledge. Without purport, we cannot understand even the... You can do a lot of misconceptions. You can, you know, have your own purports you can write.
And one amazing thing about Srila Prabhupada is he not only gave the knowledge, he also gave us a practical process by which we can follow, like achieve perfection. And that process he gave, which is actually the essence of all the principles of all the previous acharyas. So it's like as if like whole nectar is made in a very digestible form and is given to us. It's like that, very very palatable, very practical, very relishable. At every moment we can enjoy, gain happiness, which is a verse again, 9th chapter, where Krishna talks about devotional service is very enjoyable.
9.2.
Raja Vidya, Raja Vidya. Pavitram idam uttamam, pratyaksham avagamanam dharmyam, susukam kartum avyayam. Susukam. Very sukam, happiness. Gives very much happiness. Yeah. Okay, next. Hopefully this is the last slide for this class. So, the point is, the Vedic knowledge is complete and it's infallible. Means there are no mistakes. Because it is spoken by Lord himself. Lord is pure and he is complete. So whatever Lord has given is also pure and complete. That's why Lord is also called Apaurusheya. Apaurusheya. Lord is called Apaurusheya means... Apaurusheya means is beyond the four defects. So what are the four defects? So the four defects which all of us are faced with, or conditioned souls usually, have these four defects. One is they have imperfect senses. So why we have imperfect senses? See, for example, now I don't know what's happening outside the wall. Right? I can only have limited perception. But still some scientists, they say that, okay, what I see is what I believe. Right? So we don't understand that the senses are also limited in the first place to start with.
So is there any good example? Like for the any senses, right? Can you give some example? Why do you say perfect senses? Do we think all our senses are perfect?
No, any good example where all our senses are getting pricked is there is a spot called Mystery Spot. So everything, you know, water seems to flow up in. You seem to stand straight, you are in great pain, so you have to lean over to stand. Actually, it's all optical illusion.
Yes, I've been.
Just all senses are thrown off because of that. So,
so in this room, right, if I switch off, right now we are seeing each one, right? Of course, this is still bright outside. If we switch off light, can you see the person who is sitting this thing? So there is some limitation to your senses. I cannot see. That means we have imperfect. It's not complete. You cannot
even
do.
When certain conditions are met only then we can see something.
So we are conditioned or it's a limitation. That's why.
Like we can't hear other frequencies, right?
That's
a good example. You cannot hear a lot of stuff.
And the second defect the conditioned soul has is he is a tendency to commit mistakes.
All the time
they say, no, to err is human. There's a saying, right? So it's like we have tendency to commit mistakes. Every time we keep committing mistakes. And then we have tendency to become illusion. Illusion is like to become covered, basically. To think that we are this body, think that whatever is related to my body is mine. This is all illusion, bodily concept. And then another defect is he has a cheating tendency. All the time we keep cheating. Either to wife or kids or to
can
manager.
Some practical or can anybody share something?
Cheating leelas.
Can somebody say something? No, it's good.
When you are studying, okay, what are you doing? I'm studying.
Homework.
I'm thinking about, you know, playing cricket or, you know, going to a movie.
Or like working from home.
Yeah. No, that actually, you know, there is some research also. We say work from home. It's actually, it's not at all, you know, effective at all. They say it's less than 50%. It doesn't really work. That everybody, managers also know these days.
From home.
What did
you say? Sleep from home.
Gauranga Prabhu once, he told, like one of the devotees, he said that, Prabhu, today I'm working from home. Or most of the time I work from home. Then he said, most of the time you work from home, sometimes you should...
Sometimes you should actually work from home.
I think that's the difference.
So if you go, you know, higher in the society, if you go higher level, for example, all the scientists, right? So they say we found some theory, right? Today, for example, they say they publish the paper, everything. And after a year, that changes actually, they add addendum to that. So Prabhupada says, that's basically it's a cheating. For us, we are not, from my cheating, I don't think maybe my wife may get affected. But by the big guys, like scientists and all, when they release something like that, it affects the whole society or something.
That's not Prabhupada. Called cheating in the sense that... No, wait Prabhupada, that part I will say that it's not correct. Because the way they frame it, right, science does accept, have this perception of humility, because they always say that within these constraints we are right. But see, that all got thrown off with that Heisenberg uncertainty principle, right? When you measure one, you screw up the other.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you have got. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. Because we have imperfect senses, so whatever knowledge we are going to give, that's going to be imperfect. It's not... And I also heard, you know, there is some constant, right? What, 9.318 something?
Yeah, that's a
calculation we used to do.
9.81 meters per second square is the acceleration due to gravity.
Yeah.
So is that?
No, the c is the light of speed.
Light of speed.
The speed of light.
3.8.
I completely forgot. No, we used to use this constant.
9.8. Gravity.
No, there are so many constants.
So initially it used to be a different number. If anybody, I don't know, anybody knows that, it used to be a different number. So they recalculated, they changed the number. So if engineers, everybody has done calculation based on that, that means it was false.
Okay.
Now recently also they did that, right? The the collider, the collision.
Correct.
Where they said that okay,
that is the
speed of light is not constant, and there is a Bison, a Bison particle which is even
faster
than that. But
they just said, they just said that the particle was faster than light.
Right.
But it was then they found out that the instrument was calibrated.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
It falls under committing mistakes,
yes, exactly.
Or illusions maybe, but not necessarily cheating.
Yes.
Right.
Not.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
The cheating is just what we do. Okay. Let's study. Let's study.
So there is an example in the with respect to Vedic scriptures. There is an injection there. It is said that any stool of any animal is untouchable, is impure. But at the same time, there is a statement saying cow dung is pure. So it may seem there is contradiction in Vedic scriptures itself. But because there are two statements in the Vedic scriptures, still it should be accepted without defect.
Without. You should not think there is a defect.
Yeah, so that's example.
Bone and conch shell, right? The bone.
Yeah, conch shell is a bone.
Yeah, exactly. Same. There are similar things like that. Bone, bone is like a dead body, right? But the bone, shank is made of bone. Like that. It's used for deity worship.
Yeah, we use it for abhishek.
So the main point is, we all know that we have these mistakes. Conditioned souls generally have these mistakes. So whatever spiritual knowledge should be come from a source which is pure, which is beyond these mistakes. So that is Krishna. That's why he is Apaurusheya. And because we don't directly are not in touch with Krishna, so whoever is in the disciplic succession has received this knowledge and is giving in a pure way, so still it remains intact. So that's why Krishna later on emphasizes the disciplic succession point there. So the main point is Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic scriptures and we should accept it without interpretation. So there Srila Prabhupada tells in the section that we should not add or subtract. We cannot say, oh, this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I like it very much. Or even, this is a very famous verse, karma nirvadhikaraste mahafaleshu kadachana. So first two lines, Krishna says that you have right to perform your duty, but you are not entitled to results. But at this, in the next two lines, he says, but at the same time, you should not stop doing your duty. People quote the first two lines, say, I have right to perform my duty, and anyway, I'm not entitled to my results. So whether I do good or try best or bad, what is the point? Anyway, I'm going to get the same results, so I'm not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But later Krishna says next line that you should not stop doing your duty.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are not the doer, even if the results are not in your control, you
still
have to do your duty. So this is the thing, emphasizing on something and neglecting the things which we don't want. Then they can create a whole spiritual culture based on that. So that's why it's very important that we understand exactly as it is, right? For how Krishna gave it and how we understand it and apply it like that. Then only it will have affect us. Otherwise, by the time Prabhupada started writing translation, he said that there are already like 700 translations, commentaries of Bhagavad Gita. But then the difference is, by reading those, none of the people's hearts are changing. That itself shows the potency is lost because of either putting a selfish interest by the speaker or by somewhere transformation of the message. So we can see to ourselves the results when we see and when we hear and when we follow that some transformation of heart is taking place. Then we know it's working. So actually, I myself had that realization, like 25 years so-called we were like in India, pious land, and my mom like worships and like so-called pious family, right? But I never wanted to follow whatever my mom, I felt like, oh, it's all sentiment, something she's doing, we should now study and get education and get job and all those things. But anyway, somehow because of her prayers, somehow we have come now to Krishna consciousness. But nothing happened, nothing changed in my heart, so many 25, 26 years. But now when we came to Krishna consciousness, within 2-3 months after taking it up sincerely, we could see some change. Then we were like, oh, what is it then? The difference is the potency of the process. This process is being handed out purely. And we are so fortunate to be there to receive it. All we have to do now is just take it up seriously. And then nobody else can say that, as Prabhu is saying, right? Nobody else can say that it's working. We ourselves can say it's working. these we have seen now within 5-6 years, so many new people have come, especially our very good friend now. I think they are going to listen to this recording. They are not in Seattle now, so they moved away. So while they are there, like Murthy Prabhu, you may know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Prabhu was very good friends, and that Mataji was actually, she was my senior in Purdue when I was doing masters. So when they moved here, I was in touch with them, and then somehow they connected to temple. So Prabhu was like initially like so much argumentative, scientific and argumenting, and he was so addicted to watching TV and so many things. And then, but somehow they were very favorable. They used to do service in temple, and he started liking chanting, and he loves Harivilas Prabhu so much. He never wants to miss his class, and like that. Now, within 4 or 5 years, so much transformation. Now actually, unfortunately, they're not here. They moved to a different place. But nobody, no association is there. They both together, they read Bhagavad Gita every day at home. And they say, when we are here, we missed all the classes. Now we are feeling why we are not there. So they said, like, record your classes. We want to listen and we want to ask you questions. Like, so now, see, at that stage, nobody can stop. See, once it's within us, it's awakened the desire to practice Krishna consciousness, no material circumstances can stop us.
So that's all. Yeah.
That's all we are trying to trigger here, give that spark of desire or enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Hopefully, at the end of many discussions, we will have that. So then, another point Srila Prabhupada says, Vedic knowledge. That's why it's not a matter of research, because research is all based on senses, or at the most some microscope or so many instruments, which are to some extent perfect, but they are not completely perfect. So by doing all of this, if we try to research and find out, okay, what is the source of everything, how what we can find, especially soul, right? Soul cannot be seen at all through our material senses, even microscope or whatever. Then how can we, scientists will say there is no soul, because they say we cannot see, right? So there is a limitation to what we can do in research. So, but it has to be accepted in a disciplic succession through parampara. Disciplic succession means Krishna gave, we have talked about 4 sampradayas, like that. Through there, actually before we start the first chapter, we will go through the disciplic succession. It's given in Bhagavad Gita. What is our disciplic succession right now leading up to Srila Prabhupada? It's called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, if anybody wants to know. Then here briefly talking about disciplic succession. So Lord Krishna is called in one verse as Prapitamaha, because he is actually imparted the knowledge to Brahma, who is called Pitamaha, grandfather. And through Brahma it's passed through disciplic succession. And later on, when the disciplic succession was broken, in the sense that the science was lost because people are not practicing, they are not giving it in the same way, then Krishna again spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. This all comes in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Right, yeah, I think that's all I have.
8:34. Okay. Passed in DS?
Disciplic
succession.
Yeah. So, any questions or comments so far?
Mother, in the last slide, the question Arjuna got without Lord Krishna. So, like, Arjuna is the best friend, I mean, best devotee ever of Lord Krishna.
Right.
And he got Gita 1-to-1.
Yes.
Which is rare in the world.
Yes.
But still, the Arjuna did not follow all the principles of Gita. Like, he is fighting the battle to keep his kingdom, that is low. All these things, he did not mean, he was angry a number of time and
so
quite flowing.
Okay. So the one main conception, another misconception we generally have, is we think the devotee means he is like a typical sadhu. Sadhu means he is like a, you know, peaceful person.
Oh, after getting Indraprastha, he fought so many battles to increase his kingdom in India. So that is some kind of a low in India, just to keep kingdom in India.
So at least
he
in the...
He fought a number of battles, he was angry all the time, fighting with...
So that's the point that...
I mean, besides getting Gita 1-to-1 from Krishna himself in India.
Yeah.
Even still, he did not follow
but he gave the instructions for Arjuna to fight.
No, before that, he was in association with Lord Krishna all the time.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But in the war,
even after getting Indraprastha, he fought number of battles to increase his kingdom. or all the kings are under him and yes. he can do the Asura Yaga and all the same thing.
Yeah.
So is some kind of
I understand. So
my point is, he is in touch with the Lord from the day one.
Yes.
So basically, let me answer. Yes. Like I would like to clarify the question you're asking. So, so first point is, we have some conception of what it means to be a devotee or a sadhu. So we think anger and all these things they should not have. But actually, all of these things, when they are used in service of the Lord, that is their real position. For example, Hanuman, right? He used anger to burn the Lanka. So that is the right use of anger. It doesn't mean devotee should not be angry. Devotee should be angry if there is an offense to another devotee, but not for selfish reasons. If somebody offends me, if I become angry, then it's really my false ego. It's not, oh, I'm being a devotee. But if somebody offends another devotee, I should be angry. Otherwise, I'm committing an offense. Either I should leave that place. There are three different actions you could do. We'll not go to that right now.
Basically, you cannot avoid anger.
That
anger
is one. So that is one point.
So
like
calm, growth, low, more. So these are the main four.
So all of them. All of them.
But I can find everything in Krishna, in Arjuna.
Yeah, all of them can be used in Krishna service except envy that we covered last time.
The second point is.
We've discussed activities in bhakti and activities of a materialist, they seem to be same, but the consciousness is completely different. We cannot judge by the action what their consciousness is. So this is another typical misunderstanding we have. So for example, all of us are also working, and so called materialist is also working. Then they say, oh, why these people are wearing tilak, kantimala, chanting 16 rounds and they are coming to work 8 hours doing the same thing what I am doing. What's the difference between him and me? The difference is they are doing for Krishna and you are doing for yourself. That's the difference. So that's actually the problem Arjuna had initially to start with. He said, Krishna, okay, I am going to fight the war. But he said, it's for me. Okay, I am going to get the kingdom. So that's why I am going to fight. But after some time he figured out that it's not working out. Okay, everybody dies, then whom I'm going to share? Then where is happiness? I'm going to get sinful reactions and there is going to be Varna Shankara. These are the five examples Arjuna gives, which we'll cover in the first chapter. See, these are the reasons Arjuna gives actually to say, I'm not going to fight. Based on selfish motives and bodily conception. Then Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita to stir up Arjuna to fight the war. So Arjuna fought the war as a service to Krishna. So it's a completely spiritual activity. It's not for his lobe or to kill or to gain kingdom or
when
whatever.
War, I mean, after getting a lesson from Gita in the beginning, when his son was killed, he was so angry all around.
Yeah.
He kill everybody, this and that.
Yeah.
So that's another point Krishna wanted to illustrate, that even if you are following instructions of Krishna, you're still in the material world, so you are going to get some reversals. That's by the nature of this world. You see, for example, we may have conception that, oh, now I'm chanting 16 rounds, whole day I'm protected. I'm not even one ant is going to bite me. It's not going to be like that. Krishna wanted to show that by nature of this world, you are going to have reversals and obstacles. But the protection for the devotee is, he will not give up his service. That's the protection. Protection doesn't mean my hand will not cut off or my leg doesn't get scratched. Protection is that my service to Krishna will never get stopped. That is the real protection Lord gives.
And in fact, Harivilas Prabhu also covered this in the first day. This exact same question. Like, you know, why did Mahabharata happen, you know, when there was so much bloodshed and all? And when we talk about those
things.
Yeah. It's related to see, Gita says there should not be any fear, there should not be any love.
Six enemies. You are talking about
so
six enemies.
The killing of your six enemies anyway. That's what the Gita says. There should not be any fear, one should be happy. Arjuna did not follow this principle in spite of getting one to one for Krishna.
Problem. We have like, so all the Purana stories we hear so many places, we have our own understanding of that. So the right thing is to hear from Acharyas how they understand what was Arjuna's position earlier, later on, and what is his position. Then we have this bona fide knowledge.
So you know Bhishma Dev?
Okay, don't know.
No, just an example. Bhishma Dev.
Yes, Bhishma Pitama.
Yeah, Bhishma Pitama.
Yes.
He fought against Krishna.
He what?
He fought against Krishna battle.
Yes, yes.
But he is considered one of the Mahajans.
Pure devotee.
He is a pure devotee.
So we cannot understand this.
Yeah, we cannot understand. But once you get more knowledge, like clear conception.
The point is our knowledge is very limited.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. That's why we are having so many confusions.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That's what I
literature is correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Because of our incomplete
knowledge. Yes, correct.
That's what we are discussing.
It's not an argument. It's just letting my own thoughts in.
Yeah,
that's very good. Yeah.
No, that's how everybody can understand.
So
I have one
announcement.
I have one announcement. Next Friday we have Narsimha Chaturdashi celebration in temple. Next Friday. So that's kind of a big celebration, you know. So we can have class. I don't know. I will want your opinion. I don't know. We are okay any day.
One thing. Okay, let me talk about having a class next week.
So, a lot of people
would
be arriving, right?
Yes, Narsimha Chaturdashi, they do celebrate. And they have kids' drama and all, the play and all, they are practicing. So, what all, I don't know what's.
Either we can have it on Thursday or we can skip for the next week, whichever works for all of you.
Or even Saturday is okay with us. We are open. We are open. So it's up to all of you.
I can't do Saturday, Prabhuji. My wife takes the DOS class.
Yeah.
I have to look after my daughter. If I let her come into the class, she will start lecturing.
So you can all give your opinion. I don't know. We are okay any day, anytime.
I am okay for Thursday actually. Prabhu is not.
We can skip if that's okay. We can skip
on Friday. All of you come and attend the celebration temple.
Yeah, we'll be
so
like
that's
no,
a good.
They will come. No, but about the class, not about the celebration.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll continue.
We'll skip.
We'll skip.
Thursday will work except for one person.
Sharp 8:30 will work.
Sharp 8:30 finishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
That
we'll finish anyway.
Just 40 now. 40.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll do Thursday then.
Will it work
is
for
it okay?
You?
Yeah, Thursday will work.
Okay. For you?
Yeah.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Or we can end little early also, 8:15 or something.
Yeah.
Because next day is working day.
Okay, thank you.
Said that